Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 675, and it is your review of Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest. As always, this is the Nerd Economy Hero Host Show, alongside my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful Monday night, where the time is right.
And the feeling, well...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
For this movie?
I don't know about that, man.
Yeah. Nerdy kind of with a mustache, though. Yeah. This is the most this has ever grown, Brad. I don't think I'm going to shave it. I think I'm going to let it keep going from here.
That's the thing, though, is you shave it, and then you let it grow, and shave it and let it grow, and it grows thicker.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I feel like if I shave it, it's never going to grow like this again.
Well, leave it and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. I'll give it another weekish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. But hope everyone's having a great day. I hope that y'all are doing great. I hope that y'all are watching some great films, man. But as always, we're here to discuss Jonathan Glazer's Zone of Interest. But before we can get into any of that, Brad, what's up? How you doing, man?
I am doing okay, bro. It was a day at work, that's for sure. So
hey, man, winning,
got paid.
Yeah,
that was some shit.
Yeah. I went ahead and went to go do some stuff and then I streamed.
Yeah. How'd your stream go?
How did stream go? Yeah. It went all right.
Were you streaming Warzone?
Yeah. Okay. So that can already tell you what it means. Yeah. But I had a good time, I guess. At one point I was like, I think I'm gonna get off this and I'm gonna play what's it called, Death Stranding, but
yeah. I will say Fallout 3, replaying that is pretty good. I've been having fun with that. At least this weekend. I'll probably never touch it again, but it was fun when I played it.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, what's it called? I hope you had a good day, man.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Saw my parents this evening. They're getting rid of their. Well, actually, they have an old Prius with like 220,000 miles on it that just sits in their driveway. So they were like, "Do you want to drive it? Because my truck gets horrible gas mileage."
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll drive it, sure. And so that's what they were doing. They brought the Prius up. So instead of paying $75 a week for gas, I'll probably pay $23 every 2 weeks. So, hey.
Hey.
I'll take the ugly car.
Fuck it, why not? Yep. Why not? Save yourself some money there, bro.
Yeah, and for $220,000, I don't really have to worry about it. I'll just drive it till the damn thing drops dead.
Yep. For sure. But yeah, man, I'm kind of just going here looking for a new job and all that stuff, man.
I wish you good luck, Ro. So
Yeah. But I do have so I stream today and then tomorrow I'm doing a different type of stream. I'm doing my releases live stream for the month. So I'm gonna work on that tomorrow. Got a stack of Blu-rays and I need to do a video on here, so to get to work on that.
Got some good stuff in.
Yep. This is what I want to watch already. I want to sit down and watch this. I already gave away my Blu-ray.
Did you?
It's the only version of it that I hold right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of started looking at the transfer and
a lot better.
Massive improvement, Brad.
Cool.
Now, this is just on how I was listening to it on my computer, right? But I don't know if the sound was a big improvement, but at least visually looks really different, really good. But yeah,
some stuff you're able to fix and other stuff I don't know, like sound mixing.
Yeah.
I guess you could if you tried hard enough, but
yeah,
maybe they were like,
well, also knowing the history of like Tarkovsky's films and just how hard it was for him to like sometimes get his stuff made and, you know,
we
might be using like an interpositive in there or something like that.
Yeah, we've already gone through the multiple films where he basically screwed over the Russian government.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, I hope you all are doing well. And let's go ahead and do this, Brad, because I'm pretty sure we're going to have ourselves a quite the discussion with this film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't you know?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, without further ado, Brad,
I got the banner.
Got the banner. Awesome. So, if you have not watched The Zone of Interest, you should probably get out of here if you care about spoilers. But if you don't care about spoilers, but you've already seen the film, go ahead and stay. Either way, here it goes. This is your one and only spoiler warnings. In fact, in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Today's episode of the Nerdcore is brought to you by SeatGeek. Whether you want to see your favorite band, sports team, or comedian, SeatGeek has you covered. We're proud to be partnering with SeatGeek to offer you $10 off your first order with code TheNerdCore. That's $10 off your first order at SeatGeek.com with code THENERDCORPS. So take a seat at your next live event with SeatGeek. Thank you. Now let's get back to today's video. Zone of Interest is a 2023 historical drama film written and directed by Jonathan Glazer, co-produced among the United Kingdom, the United States, and Poland, loosely based on the 2014 novel by Martin Amis. The film focuses on the life of Auschwitz Commandant Rudolf Hoss and his wife Hedwig, who live with their family in a home in the Zone of Interest next to the concentration camp. Christian Friedel stars as Rudolf Hoss, alongside Sandra Hüller as Hedwig Hoss. Development of the film began in 2014 around the publication of the Amis novel, which is itself based partially on real events. Glazer opted to tell the story of the Hosses rather than the characters they inspired and conducted extensive research into the family as he sought to make a film that demystifies the perpetrators of the Holocaust as mythologically evil. The project was formally announced in 2019 with A24 confirmed to distribute the film. Filming took place primarily around Auschwitz in summer 2021. The Zone of Interest premiered at the 76th Cannes Film Festival on May 19, 2023. It was theatrically released in the United States on December 15, 2023. The film received critical acclaim with praise towards Glazer's direction and script, the minimalist use of music, sound design, cinematography, experimental narrative, and atmosphere. Among his accolades, The Zone of Interest received 5 nominations, including Best Picture at the 96th Academy Awards, winning 2 Best International Feature, the first for a non-English British film, and Best Sound. The film also won the Grand Prix at the Cannes and 3 British Academy Film Awards, including Best Film, not in the English language, received 3 nominations at the Golden Globe Awards, and was named one of the top 5 international films of 2023 by the National Board of Review. And of course, cinematography is done by Lucas Zal, who is the also the one who did Ida and Cold War. He works mostly with what's his name? Pavel Podgorski. And edited by Paul Watts, and the music is done by Micah Levy, who goes by the stage name of Mikachu.
Great stage.
Such serious stuff we keep reading about, and then his stage name is Mikachu.
Mikachu.
Yeah. The film sits at 1 hour and 45 minutes, and it made at the box office $44.2 million. Not sure about budget, though. But
this film was not made.
That was
for a big box office. $44.2 million.
This couldn't be made for more than 10 mil. I'll tell you that right now. There was no way this was not made for more than 10 mil. Yeah. I have to think it's like around $9 to $10 million that they spent on this film. But yeah. So Brad, I chose this film because of course it was one that I was really interested in kind of revisiting from last year that I watched it. But nonetheless, it was finally available on Max, and this is the winner of the Best International Film at last year's at this year's Academy Awards, and I wanted you to watch it because I thought it was a really interesting film to pair up. I have to say, when I first watched this film, I liked it a lot. I liked it. I damn near love it. I think that the theatrical experience that I had with it was just not up to par with what everybody else was having. And it caused me to kind of feel a little indifferent to the film. Whereas the second time around that I finally got to watch it sitting down here by myself, I got to listen to the noise with out coming out of my iPad, and I got to, what's it called, watch it clearly. I could actually read the subtitles correctly. I have to say that this movie is masterful. It is incredibly filmed, incredibly performed, but there is something about the subtext and what Jonathan Glazer is doing with his direction that is just really, really interesting, and it's hard to not get lost inside of this movie. But Brad, what are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts on this movie is I'm actually kind of in agreement with Rolf. People can believe that. This movie is unnerving from the opening black screen to the end. That is what this movie is. It held my attention. It kept me tense. I don't know. There are very few films that I've had this much just tension on me. And you don't see really any violence. You see nothing. The problem with that is you hear it. You know it's there. If you know the history of it, it's worse. And I mean, some of the mundane stuff that happens from somebody spreading ashes on flower pots, you know where those ashes came from.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this such a masterful movie, is that they make all these mundane subjects. And that's where I think this mythologically evil, where he takes that away, it's just pure evil. It's just because the mundane stuff that, like, we do daily, they did to murder millions of people. And that was what encompasses this film and what makes this film so crazy. And then you add on top of that the cinematography, the sound design, which, I mean, crazy good.
And then shooting straight up in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't, like, raise the hairs in the back of your head, your neck, on your neck.
They make no, like, question that's Auschwitz. Like, they cut to it into the future at the end of this film, where the cleaning ladies are cleaning, you know, the museum. And that's even unnerving. I mean, they showed the amount of shoes in that one shot, and I was just, I mean, it's makes your, it ties knots in your stomach. That's what this movie does.
It's almost sort of like a trance in a way. Like, it doesn't feel like, what's it called? It feels as more as like you're a spectator, and that's what makes it so, like, even more unnerving, is that, like, we're reminded, like, there was a lot of people who just sat by
that there and allowed it.
Yeah. It's what an incredible movie, man. What an incredible movie. I think that that there's just so many moments where the movie, like, really shines. Like, I like the cinematography is so natural, like, very much not like heavily stylized. It's more stylized in the framing and the and the way that shots are kind of what's it called, blocked.
There's some lighting in certain scenes.
Well, you know, where the fire, what's it called, just completely lights up the rooms.
Yeah. The children's, you know, room at that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, stuff like the infrared scenes, which, Brad, to me, I think that meant that was more of a, that was like looking at the past and the people who used to live there before there was an actual concentration camp. You know, I think that's what that, to me, read as. I might be wrong there. I'm not sure exactly.
I'm not positive. I thought it was somebody leaving apples for the prisoners. That's what I thought, but maybe.
Yeah,
because the thing
she goes back into the house.
Comes back in the house, but the sheet music she has, that to me was written just from the words. That was written by someone in the camp.
Yeah,
that she found, and that's what she was playing. And it's a very haunting song at that.
Yeah, it's very haunting. This whole film is very haunting, and I don't understand people who were crying about the fact, like, it's so dull, it doesn't show you anything, and it's like, I think the fear is right there. What you know what's happening, because you hear everything, and that's what the sound design is just so good, because you can just hear every single noise, gunshot. Yeah. And the train's arriving, Brad. How smoke. Life is inside those trains when they arrive to the freaking concentration camps.
Yeah. And that's the thing with this is, you know, they've made tons of World War II movies. You know, Tarantino made Inglourious Basterds, which is a completely violent film. If you want those films, they're there. This, to me, is without even that violence shown. This is a horror film, just outright, just because you hear it, you can hear it, you know it's there, you know what's happening, you know when the flames through that chimney are going, you know what's going on. And this family, they just go through life. And then not only do you get this family that just goes through life and just does their mundane tasks and, you know, has breakfast and shit, we get to go see a Nazi conference. And anyone who's been to a conference, it kind of looks like that. Without the Nazis, of course, and killing a ton of people. But well, they sit in a room
not
and they
outwardly,
make these...
You know, not outwardly, what's it called? Saying they're Nazis, right? Something you'll never know until, like, you know, one day on Facebook, all of a sudden you're seeing some people just posting.
Yeah, but I mean, not... It's not a room full of Nazis, though. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah.
I would hope not. But anyways, but they literally have a meeting in a room, and it's like it's nothing. It's like, yeah, we have 700,000, you know, Jewish people coming down, and we need to know, you know, what's the most efficient way to deal with them. And they go through the process, and they basically vote on the matter, and it's like this is fucking weird. Like that's to me, because I, you know, I'm a part of meetings and stuff, and we vote on stuff all the time, never to kill millions of people, but that's how these tasks are taken. And that's how this movie is taken. It's these people, they're going through and they're doing the exact same thing like we kind of do in life, but it leads to a genocide.
Yeah. And I think a massive problem that people had, which I don't understand, is what when people were saying, like, well, why do you have to base it from the perspective of the evil people? And it's like, well, first of all, we have 1,000 films that come from the people who suffered from this. There's a lot of books that showcase what people suffered.
There's a lot of
we know about this,
and that makes this film even more terrifying, because they don't outright show it.
But I don't believe that Glazer is trying to make you sympathize with them at all. I think he's making you look at, like, saying, like, look at the mundane nature of their lives, and somehow they think that they're much more important than the people who are suffering. Like, Sandra Hüller breaks down because her husband is going to be sent to a new area to work in.
And she's gonna meanwhile,
the people who live next to her are literally being separated, or some of them don't even make it with their children when they get to the concentration camp. But she's like over here, like, oh my God, I'm going to have to raise my children alone while my husband works over there in like a different city. It's like, well, if you would look at it from a different perspective, the people who are next to you who are dying and being killed off don't even have the chance to say goodbye to their children in those trains.
Also from the one scene that just kind of burned in my memory from this is when they're talking about the rebuilding the chambers in a certain way.
Yeah.
And you basically, that's an engineer in there. And so from my take, I'm sitting there and they're looking at plans, and they're like, yeah, this is how it works, and this is the flow, and it makes it more efficient. And it's like, I've gone through plans like that with consultants, not like that, like for that matter, but for like bridges and stuff. And it's just to me, just fucking fascinating just how the German people thought nothing of it. Yeah, we're business as usual. We're just killing millions of people.
Yeah.
That to me is what makes this movie just crazy. It's because, you know, you don't get that full visual of the violence, but you get the sounds, you get it off in the distance. And that's kind of how these people are living. It's like, oh, it's not happening to me. It's up there.
Yeah. I mean, just the what's it, and there's people who like just couldn't take it anymore. Like the mother-in-law, right? Yeah. She's like, she leaves.
And, it's and you like, know what was in that letter? It's like, yeah. I'm sorry, but I do not know how you can live like this.
Yeah. Sandra Hüller is incredible in her performance. She absolutely makes me hate her guts. And
we talked about this. The scene at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Actually, there that scene at the breakfast table where she tells her I don't know, maid? What it, like I don't know, whipping girl at that point, basically.
Yeah.
That she could have her husband could have her ashes scattered on some field. And it's just like, that's when you would have got stabbed. I don't care. That's when revolt happens. Yeah. That's the let them eat cake moment. But yeah, I mean, Sandra Hüller plays a massive, absolute, there's a C word for it, but I'm just going to say ass throughout this movie who you wish harm would come to.
Yeah. And I don't agree with this idea of like nothing happens in this movie. Like a lot is happening in this movie. It's just, it looks like nothing because these people are not like,
they're going day by day.
They're going day by day. They're not like in the grand scheme of the world. What's it called? Haas's problems are nowhere near being important. They're not important.
He's just going to work.
He's going to work.
That's the what people, this, but the work that he's next doing to him, is genocide.
The people and, living next to him who are dying and are being starved and are being overworked. Those are the people who matter, and they matter because you they matter because the way that the film sound design is created, where every single moment you're able to hear them. And it's like, like I said, I think this movie is incredible. It's masterful. I think it's just I hate to even call it experimental because I don't think it's experimental. I think that
compared to
his last movie that I watched from him, Under the Skin, I think that this is far less experimental than that. I think that this just takes a much more subtle approach to what it's trying to say. Even though the message is clearly right in front of you.
And what's even worse is this movie is beautifully made. Cinematography-wise, it's the colors pop and the sound design is great, unfortunately, because you can hear fucking everything. And I would say, you know, to make such a beautiful film that is covering such a horrifying existence, it's masterful in a way. And to me, had this not dropped in December, had I got to see this in 2023, it probably would have been in the top five of my films last year.
Yeah. 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 But I mean, hey guys, y'all are entitled to your opinion. If you do believe that this movie is boring, I very much disagree with you. I think I don't think you should go into a movie like this expecting to be entertained. I think that there's a different way to interact with art, and that's not the way to interact with this piece of art.
I think that this is a thoughtful, this movie sits with you.
Yeah.
Like I said, I sat with the last episode of Shogun on our last review. No, you sit with this movie for a while.
Yeah. And I don't think that it's bad for us to watch films that concentrate on the side of those who are perpetrating the evil acts. I think it's important for us to interact with that, especially when the film is clearly not trying to victimize these people and they're not trying to make you sympathize with them. Well, if anything, they're making you actually look at them and be like, look at these dumb fucks. They think they're so important.
Yeah, they're really not. And here's the thing is, you know, unfortunately, Nazis have been kind of romanticized when it comes to, you know, movies or video games or, you know, other art backgrounds. And this movie just puts it all out there and is like, no, they were just horrible people. They just went by their daily tasks. And like every day they just acted like you did. They went to work in their button up shirt and carry their briefcase and accept their work was killing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't flinch at it. And that's what's fucking wrong with this. There was no moral compass to it.
Yeah. But fantastic film. It's incredible. It's perfect, man. I love this movie. I think that this is incredible. It's sure. It's something that I would show a high school, history class. If I could.
I mean, I'm not going to watch this anytime soon, but
nah.
Again, but yeah, give me a little bit. I probably would rewatch this. It's fantastically made. The subject matter just fucking eats at your core though.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but just incredible, incredibly made, incredible film. Man, I hope this gets a physical release. I would really like to have this one in my collection. I think it's just masterfully crafted. But Brad, yeah, it's a 10 out of 10. What's your final verdict?
10 out of 10. And I'm still wondering how. And we didn't really bring up Christian Friedel.
Oh yeah,
his portrayal, which is, I mean, for being such an evil person, you showed a very mundane way of going about it, but that's probably how he did it. It's just like, yeah, this is my day-to-day activities. Here's a checklist, what I got to do today.
Yeah.
But then there's parts of this where it's like, he goes to his horse and he says he's going to miss his horse and he loves his horse. And then they show the dog and how well the dog is fed and all that. And you're just thinking throughout this whole film of how just the fucking mistreatment and the death on the other side of that, you know, probably foot wide wall. All right. I don't know where Raul went.
I went ahead and I clicked my side buttons. That was not expected, but Brad, I'm sorry. Finish up what you were saying.
I was just saying, that they treated their animals so well in this.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that foot wide wall, you have death and mistreatment of a whole fucking span of millions of people.
Yeah. I hope for two things. I hope that if there is a real hell, I hope that Rudolf Hess is burning in the deepest pits of it. And I hope that that he knows absolutely the worst torture in his life because of what he did to the people who he commanded to hurt these other people. And two, I hope that one day I have the chance to visit the Auschwitz Birkenau State Museum. I want to see it. Because I think it's important for I think everybody should always I think everybody should have the chance to see that for once in their life because it puts a lot of things in perspective, and it's
and it makes it so history doesn't repeat itself.
Yeah.
If you kind of just keep it in the background, it tends to happen.
Yeah, and if you're interacting with this and thinking about putting in the comments that you think that the Holocaust is a hoax, I hope you go fuck yourself because that's not the place for this. But
and it won't be showing in our comments anyway.
Yeah, it won't be shown. Yeah. Yeah, it won't even get to be shown.
For guess what? We review all the comments. So
yeah. But yeah, man, it's but just like, and before we get out of here, I'll just say that edit, the cut to the actual modern day museum is just
that's very masterful the way they did that. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. But with that said, that concludes our review of The Zone of Interest. As always, we thank you all so much for joining us. Remember, you get this episode live and ad-free over on patreon.com/thenerdcore. On Mondays, you get it live and ad-free before anybody else gets to watch it on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Central Time. As always, you can follow us on thenerdcore.com, twitter.com/thenerdcore_, Instagram is at thenerdcore, TikTok is at thenerdcore, patreon.com/thenerdcore, of course, and our Discord link is in the description below. If you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure that you leave a like on the video, you subscribe to the channel, and you click on the notification bell so you don't miss another review on this channel. If you're listening to this on the audio side of things, make sure that you're following us on your favorite audio on your podcast platform and you're leaving us a 5-star review on that platform. As always, we thank our wonderful patrons. They make this possible. Without them, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And of course, we thank all of them, but especially our wonderful producer, Shane. Where can they find him, Brad?
You can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at ThriftedIL, or go buy something from the Suppy God at PrisonCityVintage.com.
Yeah. It's crazy, Brad. 1.1 million people died in Auschwitz. 960,000 of those were Jewish people. Oh, my God. Yeah. That is fucking crazy.
Just the sight of the shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking got me.
Yeah. With that said, we're getting out of here, man. We'll be back on Thursday on Patreon, live and ad-free for our review of Lone Star, and then that'll be available for everybody on Saturday at 12 p.m. Central Time. But for now, we're getting out of here. Brad, we'll see him on Thursday. Let's go ahead and get him out of here.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host, as always. Thank you to all those who join us in future chats. Thank you to our listeners out there, our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, I don't think I'm going to say anything funny or anything smart. I'm just going to say, be kind to one another and don't look away from when mistreatment and, you know, horrible acts happen. So, Young Yoda.